Welcome back to Be More, where I aim to inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce ecosystem. For today's episode, we are taking on a role which is very important with the retirement of Process Builder and Workflow Rules. We are being more flow. So I am joined here by Andy. And without further ado, Andy, if you want to start by introducing yourself for our audience, please.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, for inviting me. My name is Andy Engin-Utkan. I'm a consultant and I'm an MVP in the Salesforce ecosystem. My specialization inside Salesforce is actually automation. It's flows mostly. I love spending most of my time building flows, and I also love teaching in that area. I have several programs, free or paid, teaching flows to newcomers or intermediates, admins. I like to stay active in that area.
Thanks for joining us today. So maybe we can start by explaining what flow is for our audience that maybe don't quite understand what it can do.
Flow actually helps us to translate the business logic into the Salesforce world. You know, Salesforce is a CRM platform, and now it's more than a CRM platform. It's almost like an enterprise resource planning type of platform that has a lot of clouds and modules. And when you're doing work in Salesforce, you have to create records, update records, do a lot of manual work if you don't automate that work, right? So Flow enables us to take our business processes and translate those into automated steps that take us from point A to point B. It allows us to, first of all, eliminate the potential for errors, right? You know, and also it allows us to accelerate some of the tasks we have to perform and do it over and over again without much of a hassle. And, you know, that is generally what Flow does. Flow is not the only automation tool inside the Salesforce world. And yeah, Salesforce made pretty much clear that they are going to eventually bind everything under the Flow umbrella. We have some other automation tools that came in through acquisitions or, you know, like some other tools. It seems like the product team is taking those one by one and kind of combining them or making them available under the Flow umbrella.
That's great. And I think that's a great way to describe Flow and kind of, I guess, sell the value of Flow as well, because you can automate processes in a repeatable way to ensure that your data is up to date and valid, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's take your role, and for this episode, as I said, we're taking your role as Flow, but let's kind of split it down a little bit and think about a Flow builder or a Flow trainer or kind of a Flow inspiration, I guess, third role as well, because I definitely think of you when I think of Flow. How would you describe your role across those different realms?
When I focused my career on Salesforce, I quickly discovered that I like the Flow tool very much. I like spending a lot of time on that. Growing up, I used to spend a lot of time breaking and fixing toys and things like that. You know, I was always an engineer-minded kid who eventually got an engineering degree. And maybe it's the subconscious that made me call my platform and website Salesforce Break. So, you know, I continue breaking automation and fixing automation. That's what I do. I always say, like, sometimes people ask me, why do you want to do this or something, when they talk about like a position, job, project or something. I'm like, I'm always looking for bigger problems to fix. That's true. I mean, I have a passion for that. And, you know, Flow is a great platform for me to do that. And, you know, my role kind of evolved, obviously, throughout the years as I acquired more certifications. I'm now up to 18 and I have some architectural certifications. So I have a much better understanding on how the platform runs behind the scenes. So I kind of call myself sometimes a Flow architect or something. You know, I find myself more and more in a position where people come to me, some of them intermediate and toward the advanced stage with their Flow building journey. They'll come to me and they'll consult with me. And then, you know, I'll coach them about, you know, how they could put things together so that, you know, they can make things happen efficiently, right, inside the Salesforce platform. That kind of requires a very good understanding of the data model, how Salesforce works, the order of execution, and all kinds of other stuff that come into play. Question was, I think, how can I do my role better, or how can others assume this role?
Kind of explain the role for our audience.
So, okay, what are my roles? First of all, I don't have any, let's say, reservations about building stuff myself. I can spend all day long building flows. I like that.
Yeah,
I love solving challenges that are thrown at me. So first of all, this happens with obviously kind of like a business analyst type of role. You got to understand the process very well. You got to be process minded and then understand what needs to be done to achieve the business process on the Salesforce automation platform. And then after that, you start kind of translating all those requirements to the flow canvas, versions and motions, and then of debugging and trying to achieve what you're planning on doing. Sometimes you have a plan and then you hit the canvas and you quickly discover it's not going to work out very well in the way you imagine. You have to split things, merge things, and then use another tool. You're doing a roll-up inside your flow. You decide to put it in a roll-up field or something on the object, whatever is the change required. And obviously, you need to also team up usually with somebody else to QA and make sure that everything runs perfect. And, you know, deploy given the recommended best practices. So those are the rules. And, you know, when I'm obviously doing that because I have a passion for teaching, if I'm working in a team with other people, we usually like to talk about how we are doing things, how we can do things better, why we are doing things. And then, you know, we kind of teach each other on, you know, why our way is better than, you know, whatever was proposed before and things like that. Mm-hmm. Always this kind of like continuous improvement approach.
Awesome. And I think that's really important because with Salesforce and in particular Flow, there isn't necessarily a right or wrong way to do it. There's perhaps a better way of doing it or a more efficient way of doing it, but you can achieve the same result in lots of different ways. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. I've run a couple of sessions kind of where I led people through group exercises and they kind of discussed how to solve things like using flow, kind of like architectural review kind of discussions. And what I usually like to say in those sessions, like as an intro, I'd say architectural process is never judgmental, right? You know, like architectural process is a very open process. There are no stupid proposals or questions. You know, somebody will say, like, some people will be not very confident. They'll say, well, this may be a stupid suggestion. There are no stupid suggestions like in this realm, right? And like you said, there are more than one approaches that are pretty good, decent. And, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages in several different aspects, like various aspects of each solutions that are being proposed.
Kind of jumping back a little bit, but I love the story behind Salesforce Break. I didn't really appreciate the story until you just shared that with me. How important do you think it is breaking things? Because for me, like, that's a big way that I learn is by doing something and it doesn't work as expected and then you have to fix it. Like, do you think that's shaped your career and your journey so far with Flow?
Yeah, I mean, if you truly want to understand how things work and what are the boundaries, if you push things to the boundaries, then you are actually better prepared when this happens in production, right? So when a new functionality comes out, let's say like a very recent example, the whole custom notification, custom error messages in record signature flows. I was playing with that just yesterday. And, you know, I'm constantly trying things, throwing standard validations, custom validations, and then the custom error message via a before save flow, then after save flow. I'm trying things out and see how things work, like when I do a create versus like an update. Mm-hmm. And I quickly found out, for example, some things don't actually work like I imagined, right? You know, it's important to know before you get there, especially you are a solution architect, as far as I know. I assume that role a lot of times, especially if you're a solution architect, you want to propose this to a client, you want to kind of come up with a POC. You really need to know what you're talking about, like before you even build the POC, you know, like you want to be able to tell them, well, we can, I'm pretty sure we can do this or we can't do that. It's okay not to know 100%, but if you know what are the boundaries, that's going to save you a lot of time and save a lot of potential frustration on the client side.
Yeah, definitely, and kind of learning how things work as well. I certainly learned kind of early on with my own flow journey to not use, you mentioned roll-up summaries already, but to not use them in a before save flow because they won't be calculated yet. So that's important as well, like that kind of trial and error, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's not very surprising for us, we know this, but it's surprising for other people sometimes observing us. Like, I've received a lot of feedback, and you know, people will observe me working on stuff, and you know, I'll forget sometimes how things work. You know, I'll do that again, and I knew that didn't work, for example, like a month ago, maybe I won't remember again. And you know, that's why I do most of my training and most of my education, free or paid, like live tutorial style. You know, I'll just build in front of people. And the way I react and talk is like, you know, let's try. Let's see how this works, right? You know, we'll build it like this. See if that works good. If it doesn't work good, we'll try another way. And that way, everybody sees how things are done, how things can be built. And at the same time, they see that we are also human and vulnerable. Sometimes we break things, we fix things. It takes, I think, the whole pressure out of the whole learning journey.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, there's been a number of live demos I've done that haven't gone as well as I would expect, you know, but I kind of say to the customer or whoever it is, like, that's the beauty of a live demo, you know. Sometimes you catch me out, like things don't work or something errors that didn't error before, you know.
Yeah.
Bit of a difficult question to answer, but imagine your role is flow. Do you see people using flow kind of all day, every day in reality, like if they were a consultant or an admin? Or would you see that kind of more kind of blended with their other responsibilities as well?
I think in practice, most of the time, what ends up happening is people do like a lot of configuration tasks along with flow at the same time. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, we see more and more developers building flows as well. They go back and forth. If they decide it's going to be more practical to kind of, you know, put a flow together and then roll it out, it's going to be easier in terms of testing and deployment and maintenance in the future, then they'll also use that. I mean, I like to spend almost all my time on flows, but in practice, when you are doing a consultancy role, that is rarely the case. So the way I dealt with that in the past is, you know, it worked sometimes successfully, almost 100%, sometimes not so well, is, you know, I would be a resource kind of across different teams that who can come in and, you know, help them build flows, review flows, make the flows better. So if you have a big enough team, you could do that. I mean, you can be the flow person. Or I'm evolving right now. I'm kind of creating a role for myself where I do this for other organizations. You know, I just want to, I want to be your flow doctor. So that's where I'm going. Flow and then trigger doctor, I would say, right? You know, like it's not only flows, especially when you're talking about triggers, it's not only flows that come into play. You got to also have a good understanding of your apex triggers and, you know, how they all come together.
Yeah, because an apex trigger could inevitably hit a flow or sit way round as well. So, yeah, it's definitely important and kind of touches a little bit on the order of execution thing as well. You need to understand the sequence that Salesforce does stuff to understand the implications of what you're doing, dependent on, I guess, how you're doing it. So, kind of moving on a little bit, but the next question is, what tips, advice would you give to those looking to start out in flow?
Obviously, we have Trailhead, right? You know, we all love Trailhead and we use Trailhead. We have the questions and answers in the community that where you are a huge contributor, along with many others, valuable resources. Obviously, I'm not going to be very modest here. A lot of the resources that I created or like I contribute to, I support the Salesforce Break website where I, you know, link every resource that I contribute to together. We had a Salesforce Flow support Slack workspace that we used to call Salesforce Break. Now, I partnered with the community team. We call that one Flownatic now. So the link is on salesforcebreak.com. I highly encourage people to get on that Slack workspace. There are many people on that Slack workspace in addition to myself. Whenever you hit a hurdle building your flow, you can come on and ask your question. I kind of like the cadence in the platform, the cadence of, let's say, questions and answers, replies, and threading of Slack, and the multi-channel capabilities of Slack when solving flow problems. More so than, for example, the community questions and answers, where usually people post a question and then they kind of forget about it. They come back 2 days later or whatever. So this is more immediate. Usually when people are banging their heads against the wall, you know, like trying to build a flow, they want an answer quickly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have the YouTube channel. I have a Udemy course, kind of kickstarting again my training efforts, where I do like a bootcamp style, like 6 weeks long live course, which is called Flow Course Academy. All kinds of stuff, all kinds of different resources for all kinds of different needs. They can obviously do that. And other than that, there are many valuable people in the community who produce fantastic stuff. There is the Automation Champion, Apex Hours, Salesforce Time blogs, and your resources, obviously, Tom. You know, you produce fantastic resources.
Yeah.
The way I look at all this, and I always said that, you can ask anybody that I interacted with. Daryl Moon and I had an early discussion about this one, for example, years ago. Daryl is the certified CRM platform builder from Australia. And I don't really look at all these different resources like competition. You know, I don't really consider them competition. I think like I'm not going to be enough promoting flows by myself. I think the more we are, the better it is, right? You know, like we just need to make flow top of mind. I think flow is the way. Everybody should learn it. Everybody should cherish it. And we are all one team trying to get that mission accomplished.
Exactly. We're here to help each other. Have you ever used Flow with Slack? What's your experience of that, if you have?
I've used Flow with Slack before. I've created several POCs and demos, and one of which is right now on salesforcebreak.com as a blog post. I think you challenged me on that one. You know, you said, I'm sure you produce anything like on that. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So that example was, you know, when you're producing a software, you're releasing under Agile and Scrum methodology, you do your stand-ups, right? So I wanted to create a flow that would serve purpose of a virtual stand-up. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that already in Slack, obviously, but a lot of us, we keep our development, our logging around our development efforts inside the Salesforce org. And I wanted to kind of send somebody a request to fill out a screen flow, like a Salesforce screen flow that's made for Slack, from Salesforce to Slack, and then they would just open that up, fill out the information, and that information would be recorded on the Salesforce side. So that was one example that I have done. And I have also another blog post there on how to kind of activate the integration between Slack and Salesforce, you know, the apps that you need to activate. It's nice. I mean, I wouldn't say it's 100% effective at this point, but it's getting there. So it's going to be much better in the near future.
Yeah, I think it's definitely evolved over the last few releases, where we got more support for more kind of flow components in Slack. I remember when it came out and it was in beta, there was only a certain number of components available, so it was quite limited. But kind of resonating on your example there, the example of things that I've done with Flow in Slack, like I work for a consultancy and we run projects, and those projects live in Salesforce. So I've actually got a scheduled flow that fires an update into the project channel, specific day and time. And that then fires basically a screen flow into the channel. And then the project lead then uses that screen flow to update the project status in Salesforce. So they don't have to go into Salesforce. They don't have to log in once they're connected. That's it. Then they can update if the project is running on time and if it's within scope and if other things are at risk, like the budget, then they can just do all of that from Slack and ultimately don't have to kind of leave their flow of work as they're doing so.
That's a fantastic solution. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and actually it kind of tweaks it a little bit. So once it's finished, it sends a message back into the channel to confirm that it's updated and things like that. So there are definitely different ways to achieve it based on like the actual process. But as you kind of hinted at, that's where your BA consultant hat kind of comes on. You're like, okay, what am I actually trying to achieve here? and what makes a great user experience, right? We touched on this one already a little bit, but if you were to start out in the role again, would you do anything differently? Is there anything you would change?
When I get a question like that, a lot of times there are things that you could improve, but honestly, when I think about my flow learning journey and, you know, kind of my positioning in the ecosystem, you know, how it evolved, I've been super, super fortunate. Sometimes people ask me the question, I'm like, you know, I was kind of on the beach, standing on a surfboard and then waiting for the waves to come in, and they did come in because I started focusing on my Salesforce career like in 2018. I got my admin certification in 2018, April. Now I'm up to 18. And I quickly discovered I liked flows maybe like a year later, max. And then, you know, as I was focusing on all these things, I started my YouTube channel, this and that. Salesforce came out and said, like, you know what? Flow is the future, and we're decommissioning and retiring workflow rules and process rules. And I'm like, hallelujah. You know, like, well, I couldn't have asked for anything better, right? So that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, that was the direction that was given. And, you know, I have not looked back since. So, you know, I do what I do because I like it. And, you know, it just so happens that people needed it. And, you know, Salesforce kind of supported that direction. So I don't think I would change anything, to be honest with you.
It's inspiring either way, because I quite resonate with your story. I think I got my first Salesforce in about 2018, maybe it's 2017, but about the same time. And at that point in time, no word of a lie here, I was scared of Flow, right? It only just moved from the Cloud Flow Designer to what it is now. And it was quite overwhelming. And it wasn't until the advanced admin class that Salesforce run that I actually kind of clicked in my head. Like, so all of those workflow rules that I just built, or those process builders, I could have done them in Flow the whole time, you know, and it wasn't something to be scared of. It was something to embrace and like encourage more of, right?
Well, the initial start is a little bit difficult, right? I always say, like, you know, when a person meeting Flow for the first time, they go into their setup, they type Flow, and they open up new Flow button right there, and then they face all these boxes. You know, they have no idea what they are. It's kind of like, you know, six choices for you, and you have absolutely no idea what you should be doing. So even the start is a little bit scary, right? You know, like it requires some training.
Yeah, exactly. And experience as well. And I think both of those two things can kind of come together quite nicely. So if you were to summarize like two or three skills or attributes that it takes to kind of go with the flow, what would you say are key ones?
Yeah, we touched on many, but let's summarize. Like, first of all, we said process minded. Not everybody is like that. You know, like some people actually think in terms of process, meaning if they go to Starbucks, if they are cooking, they are always thinking, if they are going to go camping, they are thinking, okay, well, this needs to happen first, then that needs to happen. These things can run in parallel, whatever. It's kind of like project management approach, process management kind of view that you either have or you don't. You can improve it, but, you know, like if you have that at the start of your journey, that'll be good. If you don't have it, I always recommended people to look at more process maps, process mapping kind of resources, and get their kind of brain trained that way. You know, like, can you look at a business process and kind of map it out, right? So that is an important skill. The other important skill, obviously, is the analysis. Like, you need to really be asking the right questions to be able to translate that into the flow canvas. Well, this has been said several times in the ecosystem in several different ways. If you do not have a good process and you're kind of automating that process, you're going to get faster bad process. You know, there are many many ways of saying this. You want to make sure that the process is a good one. If there is something that needs to be changed or that can be changed about the process, let's say you're wearing your consultant hat and you're talking to a business, you could always propose to them and say, like, well, maybe we do it a little bit differently, right? You know, there is the technical aspect, right? And once you understood what needs to be done in terms of process, you're going to translate it to the flow canvas. You have to understand the data model really well. The standard functionality really well. And then on top of that, the custom functionality that has already been built really well. You don't really want to reinvent the wheel. You don't really want to create unnecessary custom objects, fields, automation, things like that. You want to leverage what's in there already. After that, you always also want to be able to understand and keep in mind all the ways that Salesforce kind of puts Apex and Flow and everything else together, the limitations, the kind of multi-tenant kind of processing, and how that comes into play. And if you understand those things better, some of the advanced capabilities, async processing, the record locking, potential issues, things like that. And those are more advanced, and those will come in time. But if you can understand those better, then your solution is going to be a much better solution.
Definitely watch out for our old friend DataSkew.
Yeah.
Because that is a problem. And yeah, 100% kind of agree with that. So kind of quick fire round now, but if there was one thing you'd like to change or make people more aware of in relation to Flow, is there anything that comes to mind?
Yes, I think the one important thing that I would say, and this is an important topic for me, I want to put it out there and underline it, emphasize it. Flow building skill is not an admin skill. And what do I mean by that? It's not a standard admin skill. Nowadays, what we see often is that we actually demand and require that the admins do flows really well. Like, you know, they kind of need to have advanced admin skills. We need to, first of all, put out there and understand that, you know, the standard admin skills do not automatically include flow building skills. Now, and when you look at it from the other perspective, like, you know, like when you talk to the developers, you get a lot of comments around, well, flow skills are not development skills. Those are different, right?
Yep.
So when I look at this whole spectrum, I want to put it out this way. Like, we have the admin skills, standard admin skills. The admins, we always encourage them to add low-code development, and I underline development. Low-code development is development. Put that on top of the admin skills. And then after that, if they choose to do so, they can also do code development skills, right? So these are, for me, the different stages or skill levels of development or customization on the Salesforce platform. And I think we need to categorize, let's say, define these really well, also because we want to make sure that people do not experience undue stress thinking, you know, like, I'm an admin, I should be able to create advanced flows here automatically tomorrow without any additional training or something. No, this is an acquired skill. It's a separate skill, and it's an important skill. And when you look at it from the code side, yes, this is also a development skill, but it's a different way of development. That's what I would say.
I'm afraid we're kind of having to bring today's session to close, but before we do go, you mentioned Salesforce Break already, but what are other ways that people can connect with you and your content?
Everything I do is connected to salesforcebreak.com. There's a contact form on there that just directly goes to me. On LinkedIn, I'm quite active. I put out like a weekly newsletter. But if you want to contact me, just fill out the form on salesforcebreak.com, and that's going to go directly to me.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us today. And hopefully between us, we can inspire people to be more flow. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments.